Let's get right into it. Okay, just making sure everybody is muted. Okay, hopefully you are all doing okay. As we continue on here in our discussion of Amir La'akum. So just one detail to finish up last week's discussion before tonight's topic is that we spoke last week about the permission to hint to a goy to do work for you on Shabbos. And we said that a good hint is one which just tells a story. You just stick to the facts. So if you need your air conditioning, you would like a little bit higher, a little bit lower, so higher. So you say to the guy, it's a little bit warm inside. My children are a little bit warm. As opposed to you cannot say, it would be nice if somebody would come over and turn up our air conditioning. Or something like, you know, last week it was really great when you came over and turned up our air conditioning. You're not telling them to do it right now, but you are communicating some sort of language of a directive, of, albeit in a roundabout way. That's not a good hint. A good hint is only one that you stick purely to the facts. So this is what we spent the entire share last week talking about. So now there is. Now, we said also that Amir La'akum is not only usher on Shabbos, it's usher before Shabbos to on Shabbos and on Shabbos to after Shabbos. So, however, when you are talking before Shabbos, for Shabbos, for example, you want to communicate something to a goy on Wednesday to do something for you this coming Shabbos, or you're talking to the goy on Shabbos to do something for you this coming Monday, there we're a little bit more lenient. I wasn't going to address this, and I don't plan on really addressing it in too much detail, but there you are allowed to give a directive, but not a clear directive. So there you are allowed to say something like on Wednesday, it was really great last Shabbos when you turned on the air conditioning for us, for our children in the middle of the day when it got too hot for them. And maybe they get the hint that you mean they should do it again this coming Shabbos. Or you say something like on Wednesday, this coming weekend, I imagine there's going to be a moment on Shabbos morning when we really could use the air conditioner to be raised at a certain time, or it's too cold before that, it's too hot afterwards. Whatever it may be, you indicate something where you kind of want them to do something for you on Shabbos. There it's permissible even with a directive, but not a clear directive. And based on this, somebody asked at the end of last week's class, so can I make the arrangement with a goy during the week? I move in somewhere, I say, I found my neighbor, and I say to my neighbor, listen, throughout the year, there may be moments on the Sabbath. You see, we cannot use electricity on the Sabbath. We're Amish, really. And, I'm just kidding. But, you know, we don't use electricity sometimes. And so if I ever come to you on a Shabbos morning and I say something like, we're really cold, use that as a symbol that I want you to turn the heat on or to lower the air conditioning. Or if I come to you on a Shabbos morning and I go like this, use it as a symbol that I mean, I want the heat up. So can you do that even during the week? Can you make an arrangement with a neighbor to have a Shabbos guy who you tell them ahead of time, when I hint to you on Shabbos, this is what I'm trying to communicate. So on the one hand, do you say that is a hint? Because there's no even specific thing that you're even asking right now. You're just talking about some possibility in the future. Or do you say that you are in essence communicating something very clear? You're giving a clear directive should the situation warrant itself. And the answer is, halacha, that's more stringent. The person should not do that. Although a hint with a directive that's in a roundabout way is permissible during the week, but not when you give a clear directive to the goy that a certain symbol means to do a certain activity. That is clearly communicating something. And even during the week, even if you're not talking about a specific act, there's nothing on the table yet. It may happen at some point on some future Saturday, but telling them that when I come to you and I say my children can't sleep, that means please come and turn the light off. That is a direct communication to turn the light off should the light be on. And that should always be avoided even during the week. So that's just important to mention. So the type of hints which are good, again, that's middle category. I just mentioned because of the question that was addressed at the end of last week. But for all intents and purposes, when Shabbos comes, you're in the moment. That's when you need something done. You're always allowed, if you need something done, you're always allowed to hint as long as you stick to the facts. Just like, for example, I'm just going to give you one last example, but we're going to talk more about the following example later on this winter, is let's say you have an arrangement with a guy, a snow contractor, that says, whenever it snows, within 3 hours, you agree that you will shovel the snow. So now, if you say that, and then it, sure enough, it snows 10 o'clock in the morning, on a Shabbos morning, you pretty much communicated to them during the week that you expect them to now shovel the snow on Shabbos. They must do it on Shabbos within 3 hours of 10 a.m. It's still Shabbos. If your contract says within 24 hours of when it snows, that's totally fine. Because there you're not actively telling them to do it on Shabbos. They could do it after Shabbos. So they decide to do it on Shabbos, then they're doing it for themselves, for their own convenience. But if you have a contract where it says, come to my property and shovel my snow within 3 hours of when it snows, that's problematic, because you are communicating for them to do malacha for you on Shabbos. As far as those types of details, I don't want to focus on that right now. We're going to get more into those types of scenarios later on in the winter. But that's just another example of this type of thing. Okay, moving on to the next category. So Amir La'akum is forbidden, unless you give a hint of a story. But if not for a story, Amir La'akum is forbidden. If you stopped at this shiur and you didn't come to any more shiurim, you would think that Amir La'akum causes a lot of problems, because you pretty much can't tell a guy to do anything for you. Amir La'akum is usur, unless you hint. You can never tell him directly. But that's a big mistake. And we're going to dedicate the next number of shiurim to all of the leniencies. That's just the way this sugya is set up. So if you caught the first shiur, I have no reason why you would not want to catch the next few shiurim, because you're going to miss out on some very important leniencies. In other words, there's a concept of Amir La'akum, but Amir La'akum is waived in certain circumstances, or in certain situations waived in other circumstances. So the one we're going to focus on tonight is B'makum Choli. Chazal said that we waive the prohibition of Amir La'akum in the situation of a person who is sick. When a person is sick, there is no prohibition whatsoever for Amir La'akum. You can tell a guy to do anything you want. You could tell him to do a biblical prohibition, a malacha d'araisa, for somebody who is sick. Now, what does it mean that somebody is sick? Okay, obviously a chola sheyesh bo sakana, obviously somebody who is possibly dangerously sick, of course, is not a question. You could even do that yourself as a Jew. You're obligated to do that yourself as a Jew. If somebody, rachmana litzlan, is possibly in, their lives are in danger, then you just break Shabbos right away, even yourself. When we say chola, we mean a chola she'ein bo sakana, a person who is considered sick, but not deathly sick, but a person who is ill. So what is the definition of a chola she'ein bo sakana? This is really, really, really important. In other words, does that mean I have a headache, I have a migraine, severe migraine, minor migraine, arthritis, toothache? What's the definition of a person who is sick? So the definition for a chola she'ein bo sakana is just like in any other era of halacha. If you've ever come across this concept in any other era of halacha, of a chola she'ein bo sakana, and that is somebody who is, their whole body is weak. They're incapacitated. They cannot function normally. They have to lay down. They're struggling to function in a normal way. They can't function properly because their body is ailing, right? That's what it means, a chola she'ein bo sakana. So for example, a person who is bedridden because of the flu, a person has a severe migraine, sometimes a severe toothache, even though that's somewhat, in other words, that's not considered localized pain, because a person, if it's really severe, it could really debilitate the whole person. When the pain is localized pain, that's not considered a chola she'ein bo sakana. That's one level less than that. That's just like a slight ailment. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the types of sicknesses, illnesses, where your whole body is not able to function at its normal way. A flu, a fever, a severe migraine, all of these types, even including a psychological disorder. A person has depression, a person has anxiety. As a result, they cannot function normally. Or even sometimes a very severe cold can put a person, right? They have to lay down, right? If you have to lay down, that's an indication that you are a chola she'ein bo sakana. This is the same definition for the permission to take an Advil on Shabbos. At what point are you allowed to take Tylenol on Shabbos? That's if you're a chola she'ein bo sakana, which is defined as your nafala mishkav. You have to lay down. You have to lay down in bed, or means that you cannot function normally. Your whole body is ailing. That is what a chul is. So in those situations, you can ask a guy directly to do anything for you if it's going to help you get better. Or, and I'll give you a bunch of examples in a moment. Let's say you're not sick right now. You're not a chul she'im bo sakara now, but your condition is expected to worsen. Let's say you find out on Shabbos morning or right before Shabbos that you have strep. You don't have the strep symptoms yet, but you have strep. They're going to be coming. Apidarech hateva, that's the way Hashem made the world. They're going to be coming. So do you say, well, I should not start the antibiotics yet because I'm not really sick yet? Even though 3 hours later, all of a sudden, you find yourself with strep symptoms. But you already, you know, tested positive for strep. So if you know that you have strep, then you are allowed to start taking medicine, even on Shabbos, even before you have all the symptoms, because this is the type of illness which is expected to worsen and get to a point where you're going to have to be bedridden. So Chazal don't require you to wait till you're laying in bed. Until then, you've got to stay away. If you can help, you know, keep yourself out of bed, great. That's the whole point of taking the medicine when you're in bed, to get you back out of bed. So certainly you can take it if al pi derech hateva, the way Hashem made these certain illnesses, you're going to have to end up laying down. But even before that, you're allowed to take medication or tell a goy to do anything for you. So for example, here's a big one. Not as common maybe in our larger communities, where Baruch Hashem, we may have some neighbors near us or that can help us. Let's say a person is not well, they have a fever, they need Tylenol. They look around their house, they have no Tylenol in the house. They don't know any of their neighbors. Not that they live in Philadelphia, we all know our neighbors in Philadelphia. I mean, you live in Brooklyn. I'm just kidding. Okay, I'm joking around. All right, right? Right? I'm joking around, right? I mean, the point is you can't get it. You don't know anybody, you can't get it. You can't take the, you don't have any Tylenol. So if you can get it from a neighbor, you should do that, right? Let's say you can't, whatever the situation is. Or you have a certain prescription medicine that you need to take, an antidepressant. It's right there in the CVS down the block. If it's on Shabbos, you're allowed to tell a guy on Shabbos directly, please get in your car, go to the store, and take my medication for me. My license is over here. I can't give it to you. It's mutzah, but you can take it, pick it up, bring it there, and bring my medication back, and you can begin taking your medication. Just realize the full implication of what this means. For a chola she'ein bo sakana, you can tell a guy directly, even to do a biblical prohibition. Driving a car is a malacha d'araisa. It's biblically prohibited. It's permissible, if necessary. Again, the halacha is you try to avoid it. If you better to first ask a neighbor. But if you, it's, you know, and again, let's say it's a half hour before the end of Shabbos. Okay, so maybe wait it out. But it's in the middle of the Shabbos day, Friday night, you need the medication. Nobody has it. Yeah, tell the guy, please go to the store and pick it up for me. Let's say it's certainly you're sick. You're a chola she'ein bo sakana. You have the flu. It's too cold in your house. It's too hot in your house. You need to lower it. You need to raise it. Without getting into any other cheshbonos, if you are sick, person in your family is sick, you can tell the guy directly to come into your house and lower the air conditioning, raise the air conditioning, put on the heat, turn off the heat, whatever is necessary if it's going to help your situation. The light is on in your room. You need to sleep properly. That's even a malacha d'rabbanan to turn off a light. But even putting all aside d'rabbanan, a person is sick, they have the flu. So if a person's got multiple bedrooms in their house and they could just as easily sleep just as well in the next room, then you don't really need it, right? Just go to the next room. But if for whatever reason, person has children in the other rooms and they have their own bed and they're sick, they want other people sick, there could be various reasons why you need your bed. You sleep better in your bed. Without getting into Oneg Shabbos and having a geshmak sleep and anything else, person is sick, you could tell a guy directly, come into my house and please turn the light off, you know, in the room. Generally speaking, it's good to always remember the following. When a person is sick, there's generally three categories of types of things that we generally need to help us get better. Sleep, food, and medication, right? A lot of things can boil down to those three, I think. I include air conditioning, heating as part of like medicine. In other words, just the, you know, feeling the fume make me feel better. let's say a person needs something hot to eat. They need something hot to eat. They don't have hot water or whatever. You tell the goy, I need to cook something for you. To cook something for you. You can tell a goy on Shabbos directly, please come. He can't turn on the fire. So whatever it is, right? Let's say it's water, heat up the water for you, right? Obviously it's Bishul Akum issues, but putting that aside, right? You can tell the guy directly, I need you to do me a favor, please heat up this water for me. I need a hot glass of tea. I'm feeling really sick. That's really gonna help me feel better. You can do that on Shabbos. Again, you try to avoid it. If you already have hot water from before Shabbos, then you certainly don't go to the guy. If your neighbor right next door has a hot water urn and you know them and you can easily get over there, someone from your family can stop by, you don't go tell a guy. You have to understand, let's imagine you're a Chabad Shliach in the middle of nowhere. You know, there's no Jews, whatever. You know, you can't just quickly go to neighbors. You don't necessarily know your neighbors. It's not like we, in our friendly communities, and, you know, in our Baruch Hashem, in our Jewish community is everywhere. Like, you know, people are very, very friendly to each other for these types of things. We're very hospitable to each other, wherever we live. But people who sometimes live in the middle of nowhere where these are shallows, which are very relevant all the time. But even in our situations, you could have a circumstance where this may come up. In all these cases, you're allowed to ask the guy to do something directly for you. Let's say your heat is broken, right? And you're a person, right? A person is under the weather. And even if it's not so cold outside, but you're shivering because you're sick, you have a fever. You tell a guy, bring your truck, bring your equipment, get in here, bring all of your tools and everything and come into my house. Fix the air, fix the heating. You can do that. You're telling them to violate many malachos deraisa. It's permissible because for a chole she'im l'sakar. Again, if it's right before the end of Shabbos, you wait it out. It all depends on the hakola. It depends on the situation. But if it's in the middle of Shabbos, there's still plenty of time. This is going to help you feel better. That is permissible. This is the first type of chole that we're going to talk about. Now, one quick detail on this. Once the guy does that for the person who's sick, now the shaila becomes, can everybody else benefit from what he did? Remember, first couple of shirim we discussed, there's an inherent prohibition of benefiting from that which a guy does for a yid on Shabbos, even if you don't ask him to do it at all. He does it completely on his own. There's no hint, there's no speech. There's a separate prohibition to benefit. It's part of the gzeira of Amir La'akum to benefit for malacha that a guy does for a Jew on Shabbos. So granted, there was permission for the guy to do it for this Jew, for the sick Jew, but can his family member also benefit from it now after it was done? So the answer is, it depends on the type of thing that you asked him to do. If let's say you needed the light off, the person who's sick, he turns the light off, you can ask anybody else in the house if they want to sleep in that room because now the light's off, the other room's the light's on. Rather sleep in this room with the light's off. You can go into that room and now sleep with the light off. However, if it's something like he heated up water for you, and now there's extra water left in the hot water urn that he heated up, right? He heated up a kettle of water for you on Shabbos for the person who's sick. That was permissible. They poured a cup of hot water for the person who's sick. There's some leftover hot water. So you're sitting there in the house. You're like, oh, this is Gevaldik. I thought I didn't have any hot water for Shabbos. Look, sitting right there. Some hot water. I could use it. He didn't do it for me. I'm fine. I'm healthy. I'm not sick. Did it for my family member, but now there's some leftover water. So can I benefit from that? So that type is prohibited. The distinction between those two cases is, if it's the type of benefit that we're concerned that the guy may then next time cook more for you, then it's usher to benefit from. If you were allowed to benefit from the leftover water that's in the hot water urn, we're concerned that the guy then may next time add more hot water to what he's heating up, having in mind not only the person is sick, having in mind you. When he sees that you can benefit from what he just did, we're concerned that he may then have you in mind the next time. But in the case of turning on or off a light, it's just a light switch, on or off. There's no way to increase the malacha performed more for you. Just either it's on or it's off. There's no added work to be done. And therefore, for that type of benefit, you are allowed to benefit from it. So turning on or off the air conditioning, turning on or off the lights, anything like that, there's no way for him to, oh, now that, you know, next thing he may say, oh, look, I see family members benefiting from the heat. Next time I'll do what? Make the heat higher? That doesn't make any sense. Wherever you put the heat on for the person who's sick. But if he sees you benefiting from the extra food that was cooked or the extra water that was cooked, he may say, oh, next time I'll just, you know, make a whole kettle of water. But I'll let the whole family benefit from it. We're concerned that he may do that. And therefore, that's the type of benefit that's prohibited. One last quick nuance on that. I'm just going to say very quickly, that's only for malacha de'araisa, not for malacha de'rabanan. So let's say, for example, I'm just going to mention this briefly. I don't want to get too nuanced. Let's say, for example, a person in a hospital for Shabbos, and the hospital has kosher food. And you know they heated up the food for the patient on Shabbos. They bring it to the room. It's all solid foods, right? So there was no cooking done. But who knows if it was heated up properly on a blech, etc. Maybe the workers, they violated a malacha d'rabbanan. They didn't heat it up with the proper blech. Now you're in the room for Shabbos, you're a family member. Can you eat from that really amazing dish that was the patient was given on Shabbos? It was made for the person who's ill, but now you're staying there for Shabbos. Can you also benefit from that food? The answer is you can, because heating up food is only d'rabbanan. And therefore, it's not a d'araisa, and therefore it's not a problem. But putting that aside, I just wanted to mention it quickly. But generally speaking, for any malacha d'araisa, if a person is sick, they can ask God to do it directly. As far as other people benefiting from it, they can, provided it's not the type of benefit we're concerned that the guy may add more next time for you. That is the first type of sickness. But again, keep in mind, this is only for a chola shiyesh bo sakana, only for a person who is, their whole body is ill, as opposed to a person who, you know, is just has discomfort, but, you know, in or localized pain, minor cuts or bruises, a minor headache, not a severe headache, insomnia, a mild cold, a viral infection that's not making a person bedridden, a bee sting, a rash, a toothache, which is not major. Throwing out a bunch of examples that are mentioned by the poskim, these are all things which provide their discomfort. It's uncomfortable. Does it make a person not functional? I guess it could depend on the person. But generally speaking, no, just painful in that moment, but we continue on, right? We got a bee sting, we continue on. Okay, it's annoying, we deal with it, but continue on. Doesn't necessarily, you know, put us into bed. Again, if it would, then it would be different. For anything like that, you're not allowed to tell a guy to do. In other words, the Isra from Yerla Akum is still in place. It's only waived for the types of sicknesses where you are, a person becomes bedridden. Okay, that is the first type of, exception of the type of chola that the whole Isra from Yerla Akum is waived. The next category, I'm just going to end in a couple of brief minutes. The next category where it's waived is children. For young children, ages 5 or 6, 6 or 7 maybe, and this depends on the maturity of the children and how sick he is, etc. That is the prohibition. A child is considered a chola she'imo sakana if they have any element of discomfort, even if they're not bedridden. And you're allowed to let God do something directly for a child. So it's hard to define this exactly, but let's say a child's lights are on in their bedroom. So for a regular adult, maybe for you, it's uncomfortable, but you can sleep. You know, it's uncomfortable to sleep with the lights on, but you can do it. It's not such a big deal for you. So for you, maybe there's no permission to have a guy come and turn the lights off. A person's, let's say, well, right? Or you could go to another room. You don't have a problem. But your child loves his bed. He loves his sheets. He loves his pillowcase. He's not moving. This is his bed. The lights are on and he's uncomfortable. He starts kvetching. Is he a chola she'im bo sakana? Is he bedridden? Is his whole body ill? No. But is this uncomfortable for the child? That's enough that you're allowed to tell a guy to come into the house and turn off his light. Maybe for an adult who gets a bee sting, doesn't put us out of commission. A child gets a bee sting. They're more feeble to pain. And they're not bedridden, but they're just, you know, crying and they're uncomfortable. That's enough for a child. If it's a child, you can tell the guy directly to come and put on the topical medicine or whatever you want the guy to do for the child. So for a child, even some discomfort, slightly ill, even if still functioning normally, is grounds to tell a guy to do malacha for the child on Shabbos. The child is a little bit uncomfortable. You would like to give him some sort of maybe Advil, child's Advil or something that's in the CVS. He's not sick, but you would want to give it to him, whatever the situation is. You could tell the guy to go to the store and buy it for him on Shabbos. Because for a child, a child has the croup, for example. Even if he's not pale, not excessively weak or lethargic, you can still have a guy set up, come in and set up the vaporizer on Shabbos. Tell him directly, I need you to come into my house and plug this in and set it up because he has the kruv. Even if he's not considered a major, you know, very, very sick, et cetera. Okay, so that's category number two. And lastly, category number three, which we kind of alluded to it already, and that is when it comes to the when it comes to being cold. Chazal say hakol cholim eitzel hakor. Everybody is sick when it comes to cold temperatures. So if let's say in the wintertime, even here where it's not 20 degrees, Baruch Hashem, you know, it's still in the 30s, 40s, who knows, 50s now, who knows what it is, right? It's cold, not unbearable. Let's say the heat breaks in your house on Shabbos. So can you tell a guy to come in directly and turn on the heat? Or the heat goes off, trips, whatever. Can you tell him to fix the heat on Shabbos? It's to do a malacha deraisa, turn on the heat on Shabbos. So it's a malacha deraisa. So if it's, you know, if it's totally fine with just like a sweater and everybody's fine, then there's no real need. But if people are getting cold, because which would be very often the case if it's the wintertime and the heat shuts off, then even if you're not, person's not sick, they're not bedridden, they're just very, very chilly, they're, you know, very, very cold, Chazal are very concerned about that, and you're allowed to tell the guy directly to come in and put on the heat, fix the heat, whatever necessary, because HaKol Cholam Eitzel HaKor, everybody is sick regarding the heat. And that includes even if it's in the winter, in the summertime, and the air conditioning is blasting way too high by accident, and it's really, really cold. So if you could put on a sweatshirt, or it's right before the end of Shabbos, then do that, then don't worry about it. But if it's, you know, your people are cold, you could have the guy come directly and to shut off the air conditioner, or even put on the heat if necessary. So that's the third category. So again, category number one, where it's all waived, is any chola she'imo sakana, any person who's sick, who's not deathly ill, but who's bedridden, who's incapacitated, whose whole body is weak. Category number two is a child up to the ages of 5, 6, 7, depending on the child, even if they're slightly ill, slightly uncomfortable. And category number three, for anybody, children or adults, is when it comes to a person's cold, let's say the heat breaks in the winter. And when it comes to other people benefiting from that, which the guy does for the person who's sick. So we said it's permissible, provided it's not the type of benefit that we're concerned he may come to add more to it later. So turning on or off lights or air conditioning, things like that, that's not a problem for others to benefit from it. But if he's now cooking something, he cooks a dish for a chola on Shabbos, you know, then you cannot benefit from that because we're concerned he may come to add to that the next time around. Any questions? Start with the chat. Nothing in the chat. Okay. Anybody want to unmute themselves?
Rabbi, I have a question.
It's yes.
What if the goy heats up the water for the chola and then leaves the house? And the Jew, the family member benefits from the extra hot water.
But right, good question.
The non-Jew doesn't know that
he doesn't see it. Good question. Very good question. It's a very, very good question. The whole reason is the guy may then next time cook more, but let's say he left, he's not there. So the answer is we don't make such discrepancies like that. We don't have the right to make that judgment. He's not looking, he's out of the house, he's in the other room, he's not peeking, he's peeking. We don't have the right to make our own dead separations like that, because the general concern, it doesn't, we cannot localize it to each particular case. That's the way the halachic system works in certain types of halachas. So it's a very, very good question, but the answer is it wouldn't make a difference.
All right, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay.
Rabbi Yemin?
Yes.
Sorry, one more question. So if you have like if you have the potential for a cholesh, a yeshbo sakana or ainbo sakana, like for example, you left your child's EpiPen in the car. Could you then ask directly someone to bring it in? Even if he's not, you know, having any allergies or something?
So allergies for a child, yes. If the child is, you know, it depends on the age of the child and depends on maturity of the child. Generally speaking, it's ages 5, 6, or 7. If he needs that for his allergies, so even maybe for an adult, it wouldn't be make them a cholesh, but for children, they're in a separate category. And yes, you can tell them directly. Tell them to go buy one if you need it. if the child's going to be uncomfortable, if the child can go without it for a couple more hours, whatever, it depends on when you realize, whatever this, right? If the child can go without it and he's totally fine, or, you know, pretty much fine, then no. But if it's going to be uncomfortable for the child, slightly, you know, uncomfortable, something meaningful, but nothing major, then whatever necessary. If the Isser Milakim is totally waived, it's just waived. You don't have to worry about the Arayis, the Rabbanan, hinting not, tell the guy to do whatever you want, if it'll help the child get better. Or alleviate whatever the issue is.
Okay, but that's only if he's having the issue.
Yeah, if he's totally fine.
Yeah, he's totally fine.
Depends on the situation, depends on the nature of the child and the allergy. And it's like, in other words, if he waits till after Shabbos, it's really no big deal at all. He often forgets it. And so it's like any other time. Then no, it's just, you know, but if it has any sort of, you know, tangible difference for him, and right now he's uncomfortable because of that, then it's permissible. But if not, then no, you wouldn't do it.
I think the question is, an EpiPen is used, you don't know when you may need it, but it's usually used when people have potential for severe allergies, right? So like, you have no reason to think your kid may not have any use for it on Shabbos, but you've left it in the car and so happy if they do.
Is that Ms. Arbach, that's what you were
That was my.
In other words, there's a big unknown. It's a totally unknown. It's impossible to know. There may be an episode, there may not be. Is that
right?
Right. Okay.
Rabbi Ames, it sounds as if it would be a preemptive strike. In other words, if it happens, it's a major happen, and it could happen. So preemptively, can it come? Can it be gone?
So I don't have hands-on experience with this particular thing. If it's, for example, as we said before, the strep example that Post can bring down as an example, where everyone knows symptoms are coming within the day. That's just what happens, whatever. So there's no shyly here. If there's a, you know, if it's, it's for, you know, so I'm not sure what the ratio is. I wonder, in a situation, let's take an extreme example. Let's say it's an hour left to Shabbos. So what are the chances that it could happen? Now, it could happen, right? It could happen at any moment. But what are the chances that it happens in the next hour? So if those chances are very minimal, now again, if it were to happen, would it be a yeshbo sakana?
Yeah.
If so, then yes. Then is not a question, okay. Because that's preventative of a cholish yesh bo sakana. That's different. That's going to be different. Again, we're going to talk about, in other words, in a situation like that, I just wanted to clarify, I don't know, I'm not sure if I can align that directly with this halacha. In other words, this is actually an important distinction. Here we're talking about where you know it will happen. Not a person will get strep symptoms. It's just a person will become sick. It's going to happen, guaranteed, on Shabbos, right? You find out before Shabbos, right before Shabbos, the person's got strep. You know, 9 out of 10 times symptoms are coming, not even deathly sick symptoms, but will make a person a chole. So there, because it's going to happen anyway, and when it happens, you could take the antibiotics. So what's the point? Why not take it now? This is a different shaila to me a little bit. That here, right now, the person's fine. There's the possibility of something happening. It's really completely unknown. It's not guaranteed it's going to happen on Shabbos. If it's, let's say, you may not even say 9 out of 10 times it'll happen on Shabbos. Right. There's a chance. If it happens, it's going to be very serious. So to me, this is like a different halacha, which is that this involves a suffix sakana. And therefore, from that angle, you could tell a guy to do it. Do you know what I'm saying? Like if the resulting symptoms in the same scenario would only be a cholah she'ein bo sakana, then to me it's more of a shiloh. Because even if it were to happen, he'd be okay. You just have to lay down. You have a fever. You know what I'm saying? But if there's a possibility of a yesh bo sakana involved, then it's a separate halacha of a suffix sakana to me. And I think that would be for sure be fine. But again, if that's the case, then it should be done with a shinoi, just like any time a person has to go to the hospital on Shabbos. you know, has to go to, you know, gets the shinuyim if possible, you know. That's if you have to do it. But yes, if you have a goy that can do it, then yes, no problem. So the answer to your question is, I think, in that particular circumstance, the answer is unequivocal yes, no matter when. Okay. If you have, there's a goy available now, you don't know if it'll be available, they'll be available in the moment. You can't waste time. If you sense something happening, whatever it may be, then absolutely not a question. Not a question.
Okay, thanks.
Sure. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you all for coming on. Hope you gained from it. This is a very...
I have a question. Yes. I'm sorry. And you may have dealt with this last week, and I apologize I wasn't there. And if it's not the right time, then let me know. Yeah. I was once in a situation eons ago where a little boy turned on a record, and the mom decided at that point that she should remove the boy and other people in the house so that they wouldn't benefit from hearing the record. Was that the right thing to do? The boy was under three. I think it was a baby, but nevertheless, the record would have played until it spun out. This is the old fashioned days when there were record players. What would be the situation? Was she right in removing everyone from the house, or should she have stayed in the house and, you know, just, you know, parenthetically, the record is on and go about her business on Shabbos?
In that case, I would have picked up the record with my hands and moved out the record. Is that possible? I feel like I've seen these. I am old enough. When I was a child, I remember my grandfather. I still have images of my grandfather having these big circle black things. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, you're getting yourself in trouble when you do that. You know that? This is from a man who didn't even know who the Beatles were.
I mean, it depends if it's built into like a housing piece of furniture, but can you pick up the record with your hand?
Yeah.
Take the record off. It's mukta. What's the issue? It's a mukta issue.
Right? Yeah, right.
So pick up the record and take it off the thing.
Okay, so you can do that. Okay, so yeah. The mom could have done
that. Pick it up and move it. In other words, it's only a mukta issue. So for muksa, it's a klisha malachta le'isser.
But actually, it's muksa, but it's also electronic because you'd have to remove the arm, which says electronic. Okay.
Doesn't matter.
All right. I was just curious.
Let's say a person has an alarm clock they set for Shabbos morning. They forgot it was even set, whatever. They don't even use it. All of a sudden, it's beeping, like, really annoying in your room. So it's really frustrating you to sleep. So you can either try to bury, like, 30 towels on it and realize only afterwards it barely helps. I've tried that. maybe it's a little bit, depends if you really pile it high, but if it's not plugged into the wall, that's a separate thing. But let's say it's a cell phone, you pick it up with your hands, assuming it's not a very, very, very fancy cell phone. This is going back to Hilchos Smutza, and you pick it up and you move it to another room.
Okay.
Because it's a kli shemalachto le'isser. It's a type of muksa, where it's a kli and it's providing you but it's normally used for a prohibited activity. And that category of muktzah is allowed to be moved if I need its space or if I need to use it for a permissible purpose. Here, I need its space, meaning I need it out of here because it's bothering me.
It's like shinoi? You'd have to do it with the shinoi?
No, pick it up directly. Pick it up and move it.
Wow, okay. I'm glad I asked. I know I realize it's not part of this topic, but I'm glad I asked. Thank you.
Sure.
And I've done that with the alarm clock. It's crazy. I try to bury it. It doesn't
work. No problem. No problem. Okay, everyone. Have a good evening. Feel free to be in touch with any questions throughout the week. And next week, we're going to talk about some other more scenarios where there's permissibility, including mitzvos, oneg Shabbos, kavod Shabbos. Maybe there's other mitzvos that are involved. We'll see another leniencies that we're going to talk about where other cases of mir la'akum are permissible.
Thank you.
Okay, take care, everybody. My pleasure. Have a great evening.
Have a good night.
Thank you. Good night.
Sure. Thank you. No problem. Thanks for coming. Take care.